Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just wanna be.
Welcome into another edition of the Robin Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers. They are the state champion in football. They are the ACC champion. They all kinds of great stuff coming out of Clemson. Still in the top four of the ACC after a win tonight in hoops. I welcome in my co-host. He is actually here from Russia, actually in my house, which is kind of amazing. But, stop touching me.
You can see? I can touch him.
What the hell is that? Stop touching me. But he is a dirty Russian. He does not use his blinker lights. He does not stop at stop signs. He does love our country, though, and he does represent the University of South Carolina. I want to welcome in the comrade. Comrade, good evening, sir.
It is great to be here in the home of Rob Sanders. We got a little WWE Royal Rumble going on right now to my right. And, of course, I have no clue what's going on because I don't watch it, but right now it's the ladies wrestling.
Well, so. Your pick was Miss Elizabeth. That was your pick on Wednesday night. But I didn't want to break your heart. But you know, Miss Elizabeth is dead.
Not to me, she's not. She will always be alive to me.
She was like the ultimate pinup girl. She really was. By the way, we're watching that live over here, and I'm trying to pay attention because, you know, this is what we're supposed to do at 10:30 on a Sunday night. So, Dennis Wilson watching live, we appreciate him. He is one of our show sponsors with DNC Trucking and Transport. He has his little moment here shortly where the comrade cannot spin. Now, the comrade can spin anything. He was spinning earlier about Clemson winning by 20 over Georgia Tech and yada, yada. So we're going to get to that moment in just a little bit. But I want to thank the patrons of our show. We will start with Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. He is the czar of Clemson Sports. He is also a good friend of mine. He had enough faith in us. Before we even put a show out there, Lawton was a patron for the show. It was really amazing. So we always appreciate Lawton Swan for that. Also, Thomas Dana Young, who is watching us tonight on Facebook. He is not a Furman fan. Basically, that's the only thing I can say about Thomas Dana Young. He's a big Clemson Tigers. So we appreciate him. Also, the Hebrew Hammer, Carrie Sussman. Carrie sent me a picture earlier, Mike, of one of Emily Allen's daughters wearing a Robin Comrade Show t-shirt. We are spreading the virus, sir.
Nice.
It's moving along quickly. Both of them are patrons of the show. Kevin Willis, he is not going to be here until the Royal Rumble is over. But he's a big, big WWE guy. Him and his fiance Kaylee, they'll be in Facebook Live with us here in a moment. We also have Jamie Phillips. He is watching on Facebook Live this evening as well. Tabitha Sims is probably sleeping, but she's one of our Facebook mamas. We appreciate her. And Robert Knight up in Ohio. I'm going to share some stuff he does. Robert is a heck of an artist. I'm going to share some of his stuff on our Robin Comrade Show page. You can follow us on Facebook, also on Twitter. And we're going to get to our sponsors in just a little bit, but we've had a big week here. I've got to lead off the show with the new addition to our staff. That would be Ben Simmons. He's joined the show. He's our expert on recruiting, strength of schedule, fighting, pool playing, ping pong, fishing, hunting, smack talking, and anything else.
Academic requirements, too.
And involves an unbiased opinion. Learn more about Ben up on the website, robincomrade.com. So, Ben is, we may have to bring Ben in live one day, but all this Gamecock recruiting talk that's going on with Sandage and all these other folks, Ben's got the lowdown, man. I actually convinced him to get on Twitter, and I think his Twitter handle, Mike, is BenSimmonsDGAF. That's Ben Simmons' Twitter handle, so he'll be tweeting out some stuff later on, so we appreciate that.
What does DGAF stand for?
There you go. We're trying to be a family show here, so but Ben Simmons is a he's our new recruiting expert, so we'll be getting you some recruiting stuff to join us throughout the year. And a lot of this comes down to I get that there's a market for recruiting. People love that stuff, but for me, I just don't get it. I mean, I know you want these big recruits coming to your school, but then again, I'm on the same front of it's like, you're basically chasing down 17-year-old boys and asking them their high school dreams and their college dreams. It's like, it's just a mess. So, anyway, since the comrade's going to sit here like a wart, I'll just do the show by myself. For the first time ever, my wife has checked in on Facebook Live. Maybe I should shut my mouth and be nice to the comrade before she comes downstairs and beats me in my face.
She's like, why is he in my house?
Yeah, and she's talking about me.
And I'm on your Wi-Fi password, too. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. He hacked our Wi-Fi password, honey. So, anyway, let's get into basketball first this evening. The South Carolina men, they played pretty well yesterday. I think that Texas Tech was a tough matchup for the Gamecocks. Not that I'm making excuses for them. I hope you lose every game you play. But just a tough matchup. That kid Evans went off yesterday, and you guys just didn't have enough there, Mike. Did you go to that game?
I did not go to that game. I feel guilty. Noon games on Saturday are hard for me to get to, just with the family schedule. And so I was not there, and it was kind of one of the games I circled early in the year that I wanted to go to, and it just worked that I couldn't go there. But, you know, it's bittersweet because the Gamecocks had the game. They had the game in hand. They were playing well. And the last 2 minutes, they just looked horrible. I mean, they had a sequence where you had Chris Silva shooting a three-pointer. you had Booker shooting a couple of threes behind the NBA line, where the NBA line would be. And I don't know what happened. They just kind of looked, you know, like they couldn't execute the last 2 minutes. And so it was disappointing. And so going back to that four-game stretch, that was game four of the four-game stretch. The four-game stretch being Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Texas Tech. Okay, and so I said before the four-game stretch, we have to go to 2-2, and we'll be in the bubble. The problem with that is we beat Kentucky first to go 1-0 in the little stretch. And then we lose Tennessee last Saturday, which is a game we had in the bag, too, and we couldn't find a way. Went to Florida. I didn't think we could beat Florida at Florida, and we beat Florida to go 2-1. So now you're getting kind of greedy. You're like, okay, we're 2-1 in the stretch. We got Texas Tech at home. We can go 3-1 and really get ourselves in, right in the smack of middle of things. And we didn't do it. So I guess in the end, we went 2-2. That was the goal. But how we got there was a little bit tough to swallow. But the Gamecocks are right there. I mean, right now we're ninth in the SEC in RPI. And the one good thing, I hate to do this whole, you know, jumping on a conference, but it was important this weekend that the SEC beat the Big 12 6-4. And it's important because when it comes down to the bubble, and we're going to be a bubble team. I hate to tell Gamecock fans this. We're going to be on the bubble. I don't see any way we're going to really knock the door in unless we get red hot. But we're going to be a bubble team, and we're going to need all the help we can get. We're going to need the fact that last year we went to the Final Four. That will help. We need the fact that the SEC is strong this year, and they proved that by beating the Big 12. So that if a Big 12 team is in the bubble with an eighth or a ninth SEC team, you think they get the nod there. So the SEC winning the Big 12 helps the Gamecocks in the end. I mean, it might help the Gamecocks in the end, but still, if the Gamecocks finish the year 5-5. which puts them 9-9 in the conference, 18-13 overall. With the schedule we have left, with Auburn twice, with Florida again, with Tennessee, I really think the Gamecocks get in to March Madness. We probably have to win one game in the SEC tournament. But so it's still there, but it's just disappointing because we could have had a lot easier path if we'd have won on Saturday.
Well, and I tell you what, you mentioned Chris Silva shooting threes. That's not his game. That's just completely not his game. His game is obviously banging inside, and he needs to get about 15 points to make that work. From 15 feet out. That's about the length on his jump shot. So, I just thought that the kid Evans was just too much. And I'm not saying that the Gamecocks didn't want it more, but it just looked really like this kid Evans was like, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to take it. And, I mean, Texas Tech has lost four games on the year. I think what are they ranked, Mike? Aren't they like 15th in the country or something?
Yeah, 14th coming in, yeah. They beat Kansas at Kansas this year.
Right. So they're not a scrub team. So not to rub the salve and the what is it Ben Simmons says? Rub a dab of slaw on the womb there.
Yeah.
But no, it was just a tough loss for the Gamecocks. That loss moves you to 13-8 overall. And it's amazing because you've had a couple of games that if you would have picked those two up and you're looking at being 15-6, like let's just say we could wave the magic comrade wand and sprinkle the Russian fairy dust on them. And they pull out the Tennessee game and they pull out the win over Texas Tech. You're 15-6 and you go from being on the bubble to possibly a 7 seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were mentioning in the game too, late in the game we had a 4-point lead there, and the announcer said if the Gamecocks win this game, you're going to see them in all the projections. They'll be in the projections. So right in the middle of it all. And right. So the one game, we're 55 now in the RPI. We're still ninth. We're behind Missouri. And I'm not counting on 9 teams again in the SEC. I think it's a little bit of long shots. We have to get in that 8 or 7 spot. If we can get in the top 7 of the SEC, we should be okay. I don't think the SEC is going to get less than 7 teams in. And so if we get in that 7 spot, we're good. Right now we're in that 9 spot, so we have to do some damage here. We got to play Auburn twice in Georgia. We got to play Missouri again. We have to beat Missouri this time. And so we'll see.
Well, here's the other thing, too, and not to ride the conference nutsack because that's not what we do here, but the SEC has come a long way. What was it, 3 years ago, Mike? Gamecocks won 25 games.
Yeah,
and didn't go. And, of course, I thought that was funny as hell, but you win 25 games, you should be in the tournament. I mean, they put far lesser teams in the tournament, but I know that's something that will sting Gamecock fans for a long time that season. You go, like 25-9 or something,
yeah.
And you just didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, so we lost 7 games. That's how long. And part of that was the SEC was bad. Part of it was, I don't think the SEC was quite as bad as people made it out to be, but the reputation is SEC is bad. And so the one thing that happened last March was the SEC really kind of changed their reputation. And plus, last year against the Big 12, we split against them, and so that helped too. And beating the Big 12 this year, that helps that reputation, because now the committee members kind of look at that a little bit differently when they're making out their bracket. So a lot of it's reputation and just kind of what you have been doing. And so the SEC is getting better looks now from people, the experts, so to speak. So we're getting a little more respect in that regard, and that helps us because we can go 9-9 now. I really think 9-9 gets us in to the tournament. So we'll see.
Well, I don't know if 9-9 will get you in. I'd feel a lot better if I were a Gamecock fan if you could finish 10-8.
Yeah.
But,
And it won't be easy, by the way. I'm not saying, and everyone's not, I'm predicting it. I'm saying that a 9-9 with one win in the SEC tournament gets us in. Now, are we going to do that? I don't know. I think we're playing a lot better right now. But, Wesley Myers, who's been kind of, a key to our team, he really struggled in the last 2 minutes. He must have hit an air ball. He missed 2 free throws. I mean, so he had a tough ending to that game. And so it's still still not a point guard. We still don't have a true point guard, and that's going to hurt us late in this game. So it won't be easy going 9-9, okay, finishing 5-5 the rest of the way. But I do think if we get to that point, given the fact we'll have to beat some good teams to get there, I think if we win one more game in the SEC tournament, we should get in there. We'll see, though. Hopefully we have that. We'll find out if we can get to that point. So.
Well, we'll find out how the Gamecocks are going to go. Up next is what, Wednesday night? You play who?
We play Mississippi State.
Mississippi game. State. Yep. Pretty good team there. We'll find out more about the Gamecocks later on. So we Thomas Dana Young on Facebook says we don't play Missouri.
We play Mississippi State twice. I'm sorry. Yeah. We play Mississippi State Wednesday. We play them again at the road in the February. We don't play Missouri again. We have to catch Missouri. Missouri is the eighth spot right now, and so that's kind of the team we have to kind of focus on getting over.
Right.
Plus they beat us early in the year, and so they're up there. We look at just the overall, you know, Arkansas is up there as a team. Florida, we play them again at home this time, a noon game on the 10th. I'm sorry. So we got some tough games. Auburn twice, Tennessee, LSU's bad. We, you know, 78. I mean, you know, they're not awful, but they're not 132 like Georgia Tech. But you know,
hold on, why are you ripping Georgia Tech?
We don't. But we don't play the worst team we play the rest of the way is LSU, and they're 78th in the RPI.
Holy crap.
So that's the worst team we have left in their schedule. So we have a real tough schedule the rest of the way, which is why I make a statement that we can go 5-5 and get in, because to do that, we have to beat some really good teams.
Okay, well, since you have decided you're going to go ahead and pick at Clemson about playing Georgia Tech, it's time for the Comrade No Spin Zone segment. The Comrade, courtesy of DNC Trucking and Transport, Dennis Wilson, watching on Facebook Live right now, named his trucking company after his sons. That just kind of warms the heart a little bit. And he doesn't like the Comrade spinning. So, he sponsors the No Spin Movement, that's what we're going to call it. No Spin Movement every week here with the Comrade. Everything the Comrade's going to say here is completely true. Comrade, please, with our moment from DNC Trucking and Transport.
Joanna Monkey, the show mascot, joins us this evening like she does every show. She has the same amount of touchdown passes for the Gamecocks that the Comrade has. Remember, it's never great to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That moment brought to you by DNC Trucking and Transport. Stop molesting Joanne Monkey. I'm not going to stand for it. You need to leave Joanne Monkey alone. She just sits here. She's just the mascot. Dude, she may bite your face. It may happen. So, I tell you what, it's cool to have Joanne Monkey joining us. And that bit brought to you by DNC Trucking and Transport with Dennis Wilson. We appreciate Dennis looking out for our show. Dennis is going to join us at our next live show, which is going to be at Callaway Sports Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. That's coming up soon. We've been talking a lot of hoops. And it's going to be at Callaway's the night before the NCAA tournament starts. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, Mike, and we'll get into this at another point, but the first four is crap, in my opinion. And that's why I've always been on the Fire Brad Brownell, you know, bandwagon. You know what? It's not a bandwagon if I was like the first one there. He's never, in my mind, been to the NCAA tournament. Yes, I know they won a first four game. I don't care. This may be the first season that he gets there, and to be honest, we'll get into Clemson in a moment, but it's after the first four games, so it'll be that Wednesday night. I think you can catch the second night of the first four games there, but we're going to be there at 7 o'clock at Callaway Sports Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. You can come and pick your bracket, throw in $20. You may have a chance to win up to $1,000. How many winners do we pay, Mike?
One
winner. That's what we pay. Up to, it's going to be, what was it, like $600 last year. We got tons of folks at Callaway's. They're going to come out and support the bracket, and it's just going to be great. But the best thing is, it's going to be at Callaway's, and we can actually have some great food that night. Twice baked chicken wings. In addition to some other cool stuff there, Golden Tee Golf, Silver Strike Bowling, Foosball, Lots of great pool tables. Cheddar Bob's going to be there. Who doesn't love Cheddar Bob? And Billy Muse there. The two Muse brothers own Callaway's, and they love it when we come out and do a show. So we appreciate them letting us come out and do our live show there on the 14th. We'll talk about that, right? That's right, fitness, in just a moment. But I want to get into the Clemson game today. The Tigers went into Georgia Tech, and to be honest, they kind of went in on their butt. They got hammered by Virginia. Now, Virginia is the number two team in the country. You expect to, when you go into their house, that things are going to happen. Duke found out yesterday. It's not easy playing. They went into Cameron and won at Cameron. So that tells you a little bit about how good of a team Virginia is. Now, on that front, though, Clemson didn't play very well in that Virginia game. It was pretty hideous last Tuesday night. 36 points, 13 in the second half. It was brutal. But the Tigers came into this game with Georgia Tech, and let's be honest, they're a much better team than Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is now 10-11 on the season. Are you a mime? Stop it, you ass. You're killing me over here.
Just communicating to the people watching.
They're on Facebook Live. They can see you. For those who don't know, if you're listening, you're driving around in your car, you can catch the show. We record it on Wednesday and Sunday nights at about 10:30. Georgia Tech has losses on the season to Georgia State, Wofford, Grambling. I didn't even know Grambling had a basketball team. I'm not
they
joking.
Do. They do.
Grambling has a basketball team. They beat them. They got hammered by tons of people. They lost to Wright State.
Wofford's tough now.
Oh, stop it.
They've done things that Clemson hasn't done.
Eat
it. Say.
Eat it.
They won
Eat
in
it.
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, all right. Meanwhile, anyway, Georgia Tech does have a couple of impressive wins on the year. They did beat Miami, and they did beat Notre Dame. Both of those games are at home. They kept it close with Florida State their last time out on the road in Tallahassee. But let's be honest, they're not a very good basketball team. Clemson did come in, though, and I kind of had this sneaking suspicion the Tigers were going to drop this game just because I'm a Clemson basketball fan and I know what it is to hurt. It's like being a Gamecock football fan. You just hope and pray that things are going to go well, and hopefully you'll shine every 4 years, but then you're going to get kicked in the teeth. The Tigers got 25 points from Gabe DeVoe. Right now, that is their beacon, man. Gabe DeVoe has really tried to pick up the slack, especially with the gentleman we lost, whose name escapes me right this second.
Grantham.
Yeah, there you go. Dante Grantham. They lost him. So the other senior, Gabe DeVoe, has picked it up and tried to do his part. A career-high 25 points on 10 of 15 shooting and 5 of 8 from downtown. And I tell you what, the Tigers did pull out the win. They were down by 12 in the first half, went up by as much as 8 in the second half. The stat that got me, though, at the half, Georgia Tech was shooting 57%. Now, Brad Brownell has – the big thing with Brad Brownell is you can be a great player, great shooter, great everything else, but if you don't play defense, he's got no use for you. And that defensive effort just wasn't what a Brad Brownell team normally looks like. So it was great to see the Tigers come back in the second half. Game got up by as much as 8. Georgia Tech made a late run. Marquise Reed hit a layup with about 25 seconds left, and the Tigers pull out the win. The good thing about that is that moves the Tigers to 17-4. Which I went back and listened to our podcast the other day on how many wins I predicted for Clemson. I have to admit that I was wrong because I only had us winning 17, 18 games on the season. So
no faith.
No faith. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm the same way with you guys too. I don't know what you're talking about. So I try to be as honest as I can. I thought Clemson was going to win 17, 18, 19 games. But they have shocked me. And if you look at the rest of the schedule, the rest of the way. Now, I know you put out something a little bit ago about how you thought that...
horrible schedule.
That we do not have a horrible schedule. You need to stop it and close your mouth.
Your remaining schedule is pretty bad.
How is our remaining schedule bad, sir?
Let's take a look.
Hold on. I've got it in front of me. We play North Carolina at home. We play Florida State twice. Both of those are ranked teams. We also play Duke. I mean, that's pretty good.
You also play Wake Forest, who's 117 in the RPI.
Yep.
You also play Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is like the worst team I've ever seen in my life at 164.
Pittsburgh is pretty bad.
Okay. You also play Georgia Tech again at home at 132. So you play 1, 2, 3. You have 3 games left against teams over 100 in the RPI. Today, Georgia Tech was one of those games. You have 4 that I brought up. I mentioned before, the Gamecocks' worst team they play is 78. Right on the RPI.
Yeah, but
you have like.
I mean, can we be fair? Can we be fair?
But your schedule was tougher earlier on, so
That's what I'm saying. I was hoping you would give me that because if we look back at your schedule previous to this, our schedule was front loaded.
Yeah.
With NC State, Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Virginia. I mean, that's a pretty tough schedule. We also went on the road and won at Ohio State. We got a win over Louisville as well. I mean, and we have a win over Florida. And Florida's looking better and better. They beat the Sam holy hell out of Baylor the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Baylor had a little more than that. Maybe
Florida
I was wrong.
Florida couldn't quite take care of us, though. What's up?
Well, either way.
But, no, I mean, I was just making the point that remaining schedule-wise, the Gamecocks have a much tougher schedule than Clemson does. But overall, we'll see. Your strength of schedule right now is like 6th in the country, I think it was. Let me look up and see.
Which is kind of hard 8th. For me. Yeah, when you post stuff on Facebook about cupcake schedule the rest of the season, I'm like, we've got a top 10 schedule.
The rest of the way you do.
We have a top 10 schedule.
I'm just saying the Gamecocks schedule is really good. Our schedule so far has been pretty bad. Not bad, but it has been great. Like our schedule, let me see. I'll look at this real quick. Our schedule. Right now it's 49th. But that keeps on going down every time we play because we're playing these really tough schedules. So the Gamecocks right now should be, I'm going to say by the end of the year, we'll have a top 25 schedule.
Okay. Well, Clemson's probably going to finish with a top 20 schedule, I would guess.
Yeah, I think they'd be pretty close. You'll probably still be better, but it'd be pretty close. Not a big gap that we're used to with basketball.
Is everything a pecker contest with you?
Yes, everything is.
Oh, my God.
Everything is.
Wow.
Everything is.
What did you think of Clemson's effort today?
Well, I was kind of hoping you'd lose because I really wanted to have – I wanted to push this kind of idea that you haven't won a game since Zion Williamson spurned you.
So we have the Zion curse?
And I want to have the Zion curse. I really was that Georgia Tech would do it. I really wanted a win because then all the Clemson fans would go back to saying, well, basketball is not a real sport, so I don't care. So I thought it might be a little bit of a trap game for you because Georgia Tech's not a great team, but I could see you going there struggling. And you guys did struggle. You guys won by 2. You didn't even cover the spread. I was surprised, by the way, the spread was 2.5 points. I was shocked it was 2.5. I sent you a text. I said, oh my, I couldn't believe, because I look at the Ken Pom real quick.
Yeah, it was a very colorful text about what Clemson, he thinks Clemson is, and, which is kind of funny.
And let me pull up the Ken Pom real quick, the numbers. I kind of bet this way. So 21, let me see here.
Well, 20. As he pulls up the Ken Pom numbers.
So, yeah, real quick, okay? So, really, in Ken Pom lingo, you should have won by 11, okay?
Okay.
And so.
And we won by 2.
And so, when the spread's 2.5, normally I would jump on that and say, take Clemson. But the problem with that is that sometimes it's too far of a gap. You think someone knows something you don't know, so you stay away. And so that's a big gap there. But I was surprised. I thought you'd be favored by about 9.5 in that range because the Ken Pom doesn't really factor in injuries. Okay, so the Ken Pom numbers are based on your body of work all year long. They don't like ding you for people not being out. So you have to kind of keep that in mind too. And so if you want to think Grantham is worth, you know, I don't know, 8 points. I don't think I'm not sure you can kind of calculate that. But I was surprised with that.
He averaged 14 points a game.
But you guys didn't cover the spread. So if you took Georgia Tech plus 2.5, cash your tickets. And they won. But
Looking ahead, and I tell you what, I wish that we could flip that Wake Forest game with the North Carolina game, because I think Clemson's going to go and get the crap kicked out of them Tuesday night by North Carolina. I think that Grantham is that good of a player. Comrade is echoing on Facebook because his microphone is right next to the thing. So sorry about that, gentlemen. We're going to be better next time. The Comrade's computer is kind of screwed up. I think he got pissed off when the Gamecocks lost and tossed it or something. I don't know. But I wish that Clemson didn't have that game up there, because that is frustrating, to say the least. I wish that we could play that Wake Forest game instead first, give our new starting lineup a chance to gel a little more. So, anyway, it doesn't get any easier in the ACC. I mean, you've got North Carolina, then you got to play Florida State twice, not to mention Duke. Clemson cannot win at Virginia Tech. It's almost to the point of silliness. And, you know, we got to go there as well. And then, oh, guess what? You got to go to Syracuse, too. Going to Syracuse is not easy.
In the dome, baby.
In the dome.
35,000 plus.
Yeah, 35,000.
The cool thing is you play Syracuse the last game of the season.
Yeah.
And so it's not really, I shouldn't say it's cool. It's kind of bittersweet, because growing up, like I did, the last game of the season for Syracuse usually is in the dome against Georgetown. It usually was a noon game, okay? It usually was for the Big East title, and it was like must-see TV and some great games in the dome that last Sunday.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's a Sunday or not, March 3rd, but we used to play on Sunday. And it was awesome. And so the fact you're playing Syracuse on that last day, it'd be pretty cool just to see that. But I wish it was Georgetown and Syracuse, the old Big East. I miss the old Big East. But the new Big East is a pretty good conference, too. It's not a bad conference. But the old Big East with all the powers in there was much better than the ACC. I'm sorry, ACC fans, it was. But I miss those days. But at Syracuse on March 3rd, should be interesting. Syracuse is not a great team this year.
Right.
I watched them a lot. Plus, I text from my dad a lot. My dad watched them nonstop. So I get a breakdown every game of what they did. And my dad does not like the team at all this year. Doesn't think they're any good. He'll text me oftentimes and say they're unwatchable. My dad's a little bit harsh on Syracuse. He thinks they should go in the Final Four every year. And if they're not a Final Four team, they're unwatchable. But we'll see.
Well, either way, when you look at it, Clemson is still currently in the top four in the ACC through 9 games. That's half the year. You play 18 games, right, in conference?
Yes.
Yeah, so through half of them, let me pull up the ACC standings, because I just want to make sure that I'm not telling lies, because someone will call me out on that.
Don't lie.
No, I'm not trying to lie. Come on now, you got to admit I don't throw out lies there. You know that. But I'm looking at the standings here for basketball. Clemson is currently third in the ACC. We've got 3 losses on the year: one to NC State, one to Virginia, which I'd love to forget, and the other one is to, man, I can't even remember who the third loss was to. I've got the schedule here in front of me, but 3 losses on the year. NC State, we got a loss to, oh, yeah, North Carolina, of course. NC State, North Carolina, and, of course, Virginia. So 6-3 there. If you look at the rest of the schedule, I'm just going to start calling games now. We're 17-4. I think we lose to North Carolina. I don't think that we have enough in the tank as far as enough consistent guard play and enough to really get over the loss of Grantham without him. He was the reason that the game was close in the second half at North Carolina, because he started bringing the ball up. and North Carolina, when they couldn't, their guards are smaller, or their guards are bigger than our guards are normally. So they had a size advantage, and they were hawking our guards, and they were wreaking havoc with us there. When he started bringing the ball up, it started to change the way that game flowed. Wasn't enough, but there you go. Now, the rest of the games, I think we beat Wake Forest. We beat Pittsburgh. I think we lose in Tallahassee, lose to Duke, lose at Virginia Tech, beat Georgia Tech. I think we beat Florida State at home. And then I think we lose to Syracuse because playing there is not easy. It's just not. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 wins out of 9. And that puts us at 22-8. I think that gets us in the tournament. I think we're a safe lock for the tournament. For the first time in a long time, I will be able to sit at Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia and watch my Clemson Tigers play. Now, do I think we're going to win a first-round game? Nope. Nope. I have no hope. Depending on the matchup, I'm just not very confident. Shout out to the Hebrew Hammer just joining us on the Facebook Live, along with Kevin Willis, Chris Smith, and Todd Price. Everyone watching us on Facebook Live this evening, so we really appreciate that. Now, Mike, was I a little bit off? Was I too orange colored in my idea of standings there? I mean, I think 5 wins is fair, don't you?
Yeah, and there's no way you guys can't make it. I mean, unless you lose the rest of your games, pretty much.
But that would be Clemson basketball right there.
But like, I don't see
it. Finish 17-13.
I know there's some good Gamecock fans on Facebook who were talking before. Oh, they're gonna out grant them, but there's really no way you can't make it just because your RPI is so high. And even if you lose these games to North Carolina and Florida State, Virginia Tech, those aren't going to really kill you that much. I mean, Virginia Tech's really good. Virginia Tech played the Gamecocks this year in an exhibition game.
Beat
that
the crap
charity
out
thing.
Of them.
And the Gamecocks didn't play a lot of their guys. I understand that. But still, Virginia Tech didn't play a lot of guys either. So it's kind of equal. And they killed us. And I remember I got a game going, either we are horrible
or they're really good. Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, obviously early in the year, we came out and played well against Wofford. Like really good Wofford. I mean, and I watched Virginia Tech play. They're a good team. The team I like a lot that I saw play, they actually lost to Kentucky, is West Virginia. That West Virginia game, that was a really good game. West Virginia was up by 15.5, and then Kentucky just came on. And Kentucky's a weird team. I mean, they're really young, and they're kind of like that team from a few years back that was an 8 seed.
With Randall and all those guys, yeah.
And they're getting better every game. They're talented. They're just really young, and so they're getting better every game. We caught them in a good time. We caught them early in the year. We can beat them. And West Virginia destroyed them in the first half, but then Kentucky kind of found it, got a little confident going, and you saw their talent take over. But West Virginia's a really good team. West Virginia I can see West Virginia being in the Final Four this year. And so Kentucky beating them was pretty impressive on the road at West Virginia.
So we both have Clemson making the tournament. I think the Gamecocks are an NIT team. Just looking at the rest of their schedule, I think that loss ended up hurting them a good bit. And you know what? Since I ran down I'll go ahead and pull up the South Carolina basketball schedule now, because I said Clemson's going to win 5 out of their last 9. I'll look at the Gamecock schedule, and I have no problem hanging myself up out there and saying, hey, this is what I think. I don't have a problem with that at all. So as I pull up the schedule here, the Gamecocks right now are 13-8 on the season. They are, according to the website here, they are 4-4 in conference, 7-3 at home, 4-3 on away games, 2-2 in neutral sites. But if we look at the rest of their schedule here, up next for the Gamecocks, they will play Mississippi State at home. I think the Gamecocks have too much inside for them. I think they beat Mississippi State. At Texas A&M, I think that's a loss. I think Arkansas is going to be tough because they like to pressure the ball a good bit, so I think that's going to be a loss. I think the Florida game, you know, you guys have Florida's kryptonite, man. You know, I mean, you really do, because you guys beat them up inside. So I'm going to give you a win over Florida. I don't think you win at Tennessee, because I think they've got your kryptonite, which is somebody that can bang inside with Silva. I think the Auburn game, I don't know if Auburn is really good or, you know what I'm saying? Remember how we talked about the Auburn football team at the beginning of the season? You were like, Rob, they could go like 12-0 or they could go 6-6. That's kind of how I feel about the basketball team. So I'm going to give you a win over Auburn, and I'm going to give you a win over Georgia. I think you lose the second game to Mississippi State. I think you drop the LSU game and then lose at Auburn. So that gives you 1, 2, 3, 4. I got you winning
4-6.
4-6. Now, is that too orange colored for you, comrade?
Well, if we go 4-6, we're not getting in the tournament. Unless we go and get to the finals of the SEC tournament, probably, and then they were back in. So 4-6 won't do it. Realistically,
answer my question though. Am I far off?
I don't see us losing at home to LSU though. I can't see losing LSU at home.
Okay, well then I can go 5-5.
Mississippi State, you know. So as I said, if we go 5-5, I think we're in. I think we're in with a win in the SEC. Mississippi State, we should win. At A&M at Arkansas, I think we have a shot against A&M. I don't think we can beat Arkansas at Arkansas. A&M's kind of, they're not quite the same team as they were. So that's a 50-50 toss up. Maybe we can steal one and get one back from the two losses here we've had recently. Florida at home. I know we've owned them lately. That wouldn't shock if we've lost to Florida at home, though. At Tennessee is a loss. I can see us beating Auburn at home. I can see us.
I gave you a split with Auburn.
I could see us doing that, because I think that Auburn game is going to be like a huge, like, it'd be like kind of a do or die game for us at that point. It's going to be a game where if we win the game, we still have a chance. If we lose, we don't. Right. So I think we win that one. I think we're going to beat Georgia at home. At Mississippi State, it's one of those games where I can see us, you know, losing there. LSU, we're going to win at Auburn. I have us probably going 5-5. I have us going right at 5-5, 18-13. And I think our RPI will be about 35. If we go 5-5, we'll be in that 35 to 40 range.
Right.
And then, you know, hopefully we'll get the Final Four treatment, you know, like program with the Final Four last year. You know, you get Frank Martin, the charismatic coach, you know. You know, all of a sudden you get a little break. You know, you get the breaks that the schools get, you know.
This is a pile of crap. At 5-5, you're a bubble team. You're 18-13 at 5-5. You realize that, right? Yeah.
18-13. Bubble team. So. We go ahead and win a game in the SEC tournament. Go 19-13. Win, lose, next one. 19-14. It was the record. I think we're in.
Okay, so we might be that first four. I've already put my stuff out there. Clemson's in the tournament. The Gamecocks are an NIT team. What do you think? You've already picked Clemson.
I think the Gamecocks get in. I think we're in that first four games though, and I'm gonna say, listen. If we're in that first four, I'm going to change my tune from what I said a few years ago and say that's a tournament team.
See, now, we even talked about it at the beginning of the show that I don't think the first four matchups are worth a damn.
That's why I want to talk so much about that. I just
don't think that it's just crap. I mean, it really, really is.
And
it's
we're going to win that game.
I'll give you a perfect example.
And lose the Thursday game and say, hey, we won a tournament game this year.
I'll give you a perfect example. Winthrop claims that they got their first NCAA tournament win because they got a first four victory. Or this was back when it was like the first two or whatever. And it's like, really? You beat a team that's horrible.
I'll let you know how I feel about that down the road. I don't want to dig my feet in quite yet. I'll let you know my opinion down the road. I can see it's winning that Tuesday game and losing Thursday. And I'm going to say, hey, if you guys lose Thursday, hey, we won a tournament game this year.
Paul Blackwell on Facebook Live, thanks for joining us this evening, sir. He says, I am too kind with Clemson winning 5 out of their last 9 games. I'm just looking at who we're playing, man. I mean, Wake Forest is horrible. We got them on the road.
If Danny Manning played, you might lose them.
Danny Manning was a stud. Yeah. Pittsburgh is probably the worst team in the ACC. I mean, I don't think they've won a conference game. Georgia Tech is not a good team. And, you know, the more and more I look at it, I think that 5 out of 9 is not really that far-fetched. Beth Ingram-Webb watching us on Facebook Live tonight. She's running a little late. We were starting to worry about you. We were going to send out the search party to check out on you there.
We thought that you caught an inadvertent fist at the Gamecock Missouri ladies game today, Beth. We're worried that you caught like a crossfire and that you got a...
By the way,
got a fist.
That was crazy. I seen the clip on that.
Well, you knew it was coming. If you watched the Missouri game, the first game they played, Missouri plays really, nothing wrong with it. Listen, they're playing against the defending national champions.
Yeah.
They feel like the way to beat us is to rough us up and to get us off our game, and they beat us the first game. Don Sully got kicked out of that game, I believe that was against kicked out of. And so I think this game, they were doing that again. I think our ladies said that's enough. So you're not doing it here.
Well,
and a fight broke out. And,
I don't know how I can put this, but if you look at Missouri's players, just from an athletic standpoint, okay, compared to the young ladies that Dawn Staley runs out there. Dawn Staley runs some horses out there, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to do the whole Don Imus thing. I'm just saying one team looks like they're a lot more physically in shape than the other. Missouri, it seems like, even in that first game, that, yeah, just like you said, they were doing what Rick Barnes was trying to do up at North Carolina with Clemson. We're just going to start beating the crap out of people and hope that enough of our guys can avoid foul trouble and keep us in that game. So a tough, it's an interesting strategy, and it worked for them the first time, but the Lady Gamecocks were like, nah, we ain't having it. So I think the Gamecocks went by 10.
I think it was a 10-point final.
Yeah, something like that. So somewhere Lewis Bolin is smiling. I know a big Gamecock fan he is. I got a couple things I want to go over you with this evening before we get out of here, Mike. Mike's actually doing the show at my house. It's kind of weird. I'm used to being able to. He's trying to like reach out and like grab my head. You're going to mess up my stuff, fool. He's over here like assaulting the
I can actually hit him if I wanted to. Just make sure people, we're not lying to him. I'm actually here.
Yeah, he's actually here. He's having issues with his computer, so it's just kind of weird. He's like, what are you doing? He's like walking over here behind me. Dude, he's like trying to get up behind me. What are you doing? Get the hell out of my Facebook Live pictures. Ah! Dude, he's invading my space, man. Invading my space. As the comrade makes his way back to the other side of the Deshaun Watson Studios is what I call them here. Let's talk about That's Right Fitness.
I was limping.
That's not nice. That is some backhanded shit there, brother. As we talk about That's Right Fitness. That's Right Fitness is my good friend Willie Tanner. He decided to start his own gym. A place we get lots of one-on-one attention. It's a supportive community where you can set some goals and try to get yourself in shape. They've got all kinds of great stuff there, including free nutrition advice for the members, meal prep tips. You can even do meals by Mo. Now, the cool part about that is that you can order your meals. Put it like this. If you go to like McDonald's or whatever and you buy an extra value meal, it's like $7, okay? You can get a meal by Mo for $6, and it's exactly portioned out for the way that you know you're supposed to have to keep yourself healthy. And it's got great stuff in it. Everything from stuffed bell peppers to chicken and vegetables and all kind of stuff like that. If you want to try to get healthy, because food is the most important part, I tell you what. But they do all kinds of great group fitness classes there, and you can get with Willie and get yourself in shape. He's had just some transformation pictures of a couple of young ladies that have really made the turn and are doing some stuff now like climbing rock walls and all kind of stuff and Just amazing what Willie does. Give him a call, 843-870-3150, right here in Columbia, out in West Columbia, actually. And 843-870-3150. Follow him on Facebook, thatsrightfitness.com. You can check out some of the different obstacles they've got around their gym. Really, really cool stuff. Willie is the man. We love him to death here on the Rob and Comrade Show. thatsrightfitness.com. Now, some stuff I want to throw out here real quick before we get out of here this evening, Mike. We are getting closer and closer and closer to baseball season. I was kind of upset with Yelich going to the Brewers the other day because I was hoping that someone would go down there and, I don't know, slap Derek Jeter around and make him send him to the Braves. But
the Braves were in it.
The Braves were in it, but they didn't have enough.
They wanted Acuna. The Braves said no, which is smart.
Well, I do think that's smart, but I guess I'm at the point with the Braves, and I'm going to watch my Braves regardless, but I would love us to get to a point where when I go into a season, I'm not thinking we're going to lose 90 games. And that is not that far-fetched to think about this season, the Braves dropping 90 games, because it is just, it's tough playing in the NL East, and I'm not making excuses. It's hard to do that, especially with the pitching they've got, but I know they are building for the future, but it was really tough to see Yelich going to the Brewers, who basically finished with the same record we did last year. You know, just tough, Mike.
Well, the Brewers are going to be really good. I think the Brewers are kind of the sleeper pick number in the Central. Right. The Cubs have some issues. They're good, but the Cubs have some pitching issues, and they might fix them here with Darvish and all that stuff. But the Braves, did I give up Acuna? The Braves this year, here's the thing. I think they're going to lose by 88 games, but the cool thing is Acuna's going to come up at some point, probably in May.
Yeah, I'm going May 1st.
And he is the real deal. I mean, like, he is going to be really good. So, even if the Braves aren't a team of contention, they're going to be worth watching. They're going to be worth the price of admission, so to speak, to go over and watch him play, and because his bat is just, I mean, he's just turned 20 years old, and his bat is just
loaded. I was going to ask you about that. What position is he going to play? Is he an outfielder?
He's an outfielder, yeah.
Okay.
He can play center, but obviously the Braves have Inciarte there. He can play center for most teams. He won't for the Braves. He's probably going to play left field. I mean, they already met Kemp, so they're probably going to do.
And so they're going to have Markakis in one spot, who played pretty well. And then Endar Inciarte.
He's a good player.
Will probably play
very underrated
center.
Yeah, he's really good center.
He was our only All Star last year.
Acuna will be in left come May 10th, probably. And then I'm not sure he'll play left field on opening day. Unless the Braves may surprise us. You know, I will give the Braves credit if, you know, and I'm not sure if everyone realizes this, though, but one of the reasons why you don't just bring him up on opening day is because that starts his free agency clock, and so
right.
he gets to
get
be free
that,
agency so. 1 year sooner. So instead of, you know, you have 6 years of control of a player. And so if you go ahead and make him wait till like May, there's a cutoff point now, and you get an extra year of him before he becomes a free agent. And so, and it's not, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go ahead and bring your best guys up opening day to make the team. And so I think the Braves are secretly hoping he has like a lousy spring training, because if he hits like 650 in the spring with like eight bombs, it's going to be kind of hard for the Braves to say, oh, he's not quite ready yet. We're going to have, you know, I don't know who they put in left field, so-and-so out there. And so we'll see what happens. Maybe the Braves go ahead and say, you know what, we're going to show faith in him, and maybe we'll pay off in him taking a hometown discount down the line and staying here and say, you know what, we're going to bring you up on opening day to start left field, and we're not going to go ahead and play the game of trying to delay your free agency. We're going to bring you up. You earned it. You're one of our best outfielders in the organization. So they might do that too. You never know.
Well, I still think it's going to be tough for the Braves. They're going to be I think it will be fun if he comes in and he's batting like right behind Freeman. I think that would be great, because Inciarte is probably going to hit first.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's going to hit second, but
I think they want Dansby Swanson at second, but he's not proving he can do that. But,
yeah, but
Dansby is supposed to be the prototypical number two hitter.
Right. But if this kid can come in and hit, it's just going to be great. So I'm looking forward to the Beret season, even though I'm not expecting much. I don't know. I've started to look at some Clemson stuff here, Mike, as they had their first full practice of the spring. First full practice as they get scheduled to get themselves moving. Because we are what? When's opening day? Like February
16th.
February 16th. So as we record this, we are about 18 days away, something like that. So baseball season is upon us. And one of the areas that's going to be tough for Clemson, and we'll get into this a lot more down the line, is I think Clemson's going to be able to hit. You've got basically two All-Americans in Seth Beer and our catcher back there that are, you know, going to monkey the middle of that lineup there. But it's going to be a question of can we out-hit everybody, because we have talent there, as Lewis Boland would tell me. It's just an issue of it's not proven talent. Ryan Miller is probably going to be our Friday night starter. He was drafted by the Braves last summer, did come back for his senior season, spent half of the season on the injured list, though. After that, it's going to be a freshman in Spencer Strider and then another kid named Sam Weatherly. And, you know, losing Charlie Barnes, who used to piss me off last year really bad, the left-handed kid from Sumter, I actually called some of his games when he played at Sumter. He used to play in the AC Floor Classic out there. And the Comrade's going to make his radio debut here. He's going to call some games with me. But I got to call a game with Charlie Barnes pitching against AC Floor, Mike. And he shredded that Andy Hallett lineup. That was a lineup that won the state title. And I was so happy to see, oh man, this kid's going to Clemson. Charlie Barnes, as a left-handed senior, went out there for the Sumter Gamecocks and destroyed that AC Floor lineup. Held him to like two hits over right at six innings. I mean, just an amazing outing there. And then he goes to Clemson, and he ended up getting drafted, but I just felt like he could have left the Tigers a little bit more. But, you know, baseball practice did get started today. And I know the Gamecocks are warming it up out there with, is it Kingsbury? Is that his name? Is that the name of your coach, Kingsbury?
No, Kingston. Kingston.
I yeah. refuse to the acknowledge king. Him until he wins a game.
The king.
Kingston. You call him the king. I don't know.
Call him the king.
I don't know about that. Anthony like Keyes Harrelson's talking about our echo. That's because the Comrade's in studio with us, so... but I tell you what, it's going to be better next time. The Comrade's got his stuff together, and hopefully he'll have his computer fixed. Mike, have you heard anything coming out of the baseball camp down there for South Carolina? Any position battles you're looking at and you're thinking, all right?
Well, right now, I mean, the big thing is the fact that the only thing that's really certain is Jonah Bright at third base, and you're going to have Adam Hill as your Friday starter. We have a bunch of guys who can play different positions. So the question is, what we're going to do, there's some guys who can play infield and outfield. And, you know, Kingston didn't really go into much detail about that. The only thing he said that Jonah Bride will be at third base and hitting in the middle of the order. And, of course, Carlos Cortez. The question is, will he play outfield? Will he play DH? There's some thought that he could play second base, although that'd be kind of scary. So I think you see Cortez probably hitting third and DHing and Jonah Bride playing third base. But other than that, everything's up in the air. Pitching is a big thing. Adam Hill is a Friday night SEC starter. I mean, quality guy. But after that, there's talent there, but they've never really done anything yet. So new pitching coach, Skylar Mead, he's supposed to be really good, younger. And so the hope is maybe he can find some arms and kind of get them ready. But the Gamecocks aren't ranked in any poll. Except, I think one poll, the CBI or some kind of the college baseball, there's one website that has them ranked like 18th.
Well, the only poll we acknowledge here is the D1
baseball. Exactly.
Poll,
so in D1, the Gamecocks aren't ranked. Either it's Clemson, although Clemson is ranked in some other polls. So Clemson's kind of, they're kind of, you know, I talked to Aaron Fenn a little bit over email, and he just said that both teams were close to being ranked in the top 25 when him and Kendall kind of did their rankings, but he just didn't feel there's enough there to get them in there for the preseason rankings, but he thought they both had a chance to have good seasons. So we'll talk more with Aaron coming up here soon. We're going to nail down a date and get all that squared away. And but we'll see.
We're definitely looking forward to that. So the Tigers are ranked 12th in the Baseball America poll. I think that is absurdly high, considering the fact that you are basically replacing your entire pitching staff. Seth Beer can only come to the plate four times, folks. Maybe five, but it's just not going to be pleasant until we can actually see what we got on the mound. Last couple of things I'm going to get into you here with this evening, Mike. The Pro Bowl was today. Did you watch any of it?
No, I did not.
Okay,
did
so
not
no one
turn it on.
No one cares about the Pro Bowl. So my thing to the NFL is stop playing it. No one cares. It's that bad. No one cares about the Pro Bowl. The guys that are there don't even want to be there. They want to be, hey, I was named a Pro Bowler, but in reality, they don't care. The last thing, Mike, before we get out of here this evening is the new Atlanta Braves mascot, Blooper. What an absolute epic freaking failure. I am not in the Blooper camp. I mean, for those who haven't seen it, basically, they have made themselves a mauve-looking color of the Philly Fanatic. am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, it's bad.
It's really bad. They ripped off Mr. Met from before with Homer. That's what they called him before, was Homer. I got a great story about Homer that I'll give you really quick. My daughter had a baseball, right? And I didn't know. I had gotten the baseball signed by Ray Tanner right after they had won their back-to-back national titles. And I thought that'd be something kind of cool to have, because I'm a college baseball guy. I can respect the trophies. So, and, you know, Ray Tanner came in and recorded some stuff with me in my studio at my real job. I'm like, it'd be nice to have a Ray Tanner signed baseball. Who wouldn't like to have that? Somehow or another, my daughter ended up with that ball when we went to a game in Atlanta. And she handed the ball to Homer. And Homer, the Braves mascot, signed right there next to Ray Tanner. And now the baseball means nothing to anyone but me. But it sits in my office, and
Homer,
I'm proud of it.
And Tanner.
Homer and Tanner. That's just great. But Homer was a Mr. Met ripoff. And I'm going to sound like I'm just being an insensitive person here, but bring back Chief Nakahoma. I've mentioned that so many times. Bring back Chief Nakahoma, or get one of those big foam sponge tomahawks and have Tommy the Tomahawk. That makes a hell of a lot more sense than let's go and try to get a Philly Fanatic or to break off Mr. Met.
I
am utterly disgusted. I want Chief Nakahoma back.
I say all you do is bring back John Rocker in a full uniform, have him walk around to be the mascot. Just have him right there, full uniform, walking around, just, you know, meeting the fans, and that's your mascot, John Rocker. He's got free time, he needs the money.
John Rocker's
okay.
Little.
And he'll be sitting there right there, and, you know, just walking around, meeting people. You don't have to spend any money on a costume.
What is the Red Sox mascot? What is his name? Do you even
Wally
know?
Wally the Green Monster.
See, that's original. He doesn't look like the Philly Fanatic. He looks like
Wally the Green Monster. He's just a green dude, walks around.
Wally
the Green Monster had a great Sports Center commercial. There's a commercial in which David Ortiz is in the Sports Center offices with Jorge Posada, and Posada has a Yankee hat next to him, and Ortiz picks it up and says, "You're doing a break in your hat." And Jorge Posada goes, "I don't wear this hat. I'm a catcher. I wear the helmet and the mask." And so Ortiz takes that Yankee hat, and he sits there and, like, you know, puts it on his head to break it in. And this is what happens. While the Green Monster is carrying a bunch of tapes, he looks in and sees Ortiz with the Yankee hat on, and he drops all the thing, and Ortiz goes, Wally, I'm just trying to, Wally, no. And so
that's
it's a
great.
Really good this funny. Is Sports Center commercial that Wally was a star in. So but Wally's a pretty good mascot, pretty famous, but, you know, the Blooper does not look good. But go with Jen Rocker.
You're not helping. Bring back Chief Nakahoma. Set him up a TP.
Yeah,
why
not?
That's not
going to happen.
I know. All right, Mike, do you have anything else you'd like to add this evening, sir?
That's about it. It's been a nice night coming over here to Rob Sanders' house. I want to thank his wife, Karen, for allowing me to be here. So,
she's upstairs. She's got her earplugs in. She doesn't want to hear our crap.
But, you know, I want to thank his wife for allowing me to come in this rainstorm. Of all nights to come over, it's pouring rain out. So,
with that, I think this show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at RobSoundsGood and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.